Bill Jenkin. Bill Jenkin is a Montana boy. He was led to Christ by a missionary down in Phillipsburg, Montana, Roger Faust. And I think, Bill, you and Terry were in your early 20s, weren't you, when you got saved? Something like 19 years old. Well, you come tell them about it. God bless you. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Pastor. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. And having said that much and hearing Pastor say, tell us about it, I'll share just a little bit. I was raised in the Anaconda area. My earliest memories of life are of being in the bar with my dad. Of course, you think those things are normal when you're a kid. And it's what you know. It is the norm for you. I knew nothing about the gospel. I knew nothing about Jesus Christ. I knew nothing about the Bible. If someone would have said to me, turn to John 3:16, I would have been embarrassed and baffled. What is a John 3:16? If they would have tried to shield my embarrassment and say, John is in the New Testament, then I'd have really been embarrassed. What does all that mean? And I was working in a sawmill at 19 years of age, married with two children. And I've always been an encourager, even before I was saved. And I was a millwright, so I had the freedom to be wherever I wanted to be in the sawmill. As long as when something broke down, they would blow a signal whistle. And one whistle meant the head rig was broke down, so I'd hustle over to the head rig. And two whistles meant the edger was broke down, and I'd hustle over to the edger. But in the other times, if I didn't have a welding project, I would just kind of help the guys. And I saw guys come into the sawmill. It's brutal, brutal work. And I saw guys whose families needed food, whose kids needed shoes. I saw them come into the sawmill and work half a day and walk off. Nobody works as hard, I've heard guys say. And I realized if I could help them through a couple of days, then they would acclimate to the hard work and be able to do it. And I saw a fella shoveling wet sawdust under a conveyor system, brand new on the job. And I grabbed a scoop shovel and went down to help him and cleared it out in just a few moments, and we stopped and introduced ourselves after we got it done. And he told me that he's a Baptist preacher and that they had a missionary in their church that night, and would I come and listen to the missionary. I didn't know what a missionary was. I didn't know what a missionary did. And I went home and told my wife. I said, honey, we're going to go to church tonight. Well, that shocked her, because our earliest dates were in the bars in Butte, Montana, and Anaconda. I had a false ID at 17 years of age and could get served. We went to church that night, and I heard that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. I didn't know that. I heard that Jesus Christ died for me. I didn't know that. I heard that I was a sinner. I knew that. I heard that if I would accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, He would give me the free gift of eternal life. And that night, hearing the gospel for the first time, knowing absolutely nothing about Christ or the church or the Bible or God, I went forward and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He saved me and He changed me. And I'm not over it yet. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to somehow be preaching His Word. I led an old friend to Christ, and she said this to me. She meant it as a compliment. I took it that way. I saw her come to Christ in Anaconda. I saw her husband come to Christ before he died of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And she said, you've come a long way from that boy on Spring Hill. And thanks be to God, but by the grace of God, who knows? We've seen some other friends in the Anaconda area accept Christ as Savior as well. Well, Colossians chapter 1. It's hard to know where to dig in here, but I wanted to look at being translated into God's kingdom. What I want to share with you this morning, Colossians 1, let me read again verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, I want you to see three characteristics here, three keys of the privileges that the child of God has. And this applies to you if you know Christ as Savior. Understand This is a Bible lesson. This is a sermon. But it's not so much just saying what God has said. It is that, but not just that. This is telling us what God is saying, what God is saying to you and what God is saying to me. This passage is not just a passage telling us what God has done, but what God is doing for you and doing for me. And there's three wonderful privileges here. And he says, first of all, in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers. We're going to explain those words. What does it mean to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light? And then in verse 13, who hath delivered us. That will be the second key characteristic we'll see of the privileges of a child of God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And it's exciting that it's not saying it's as though he has delivered us. It's as though we are no longer in the power of the powers of darkness. It's not that at all. He has done that. It's something that God has accomplished, and it's a wonderful privilege. Just the same way, it's not as though we've been born again. You say, now wait a minute. No. It's not as though we've been born again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that born again is not just an illustration. You have been born again. It's not as though you've been born again. You have been born again. And so the second one there is delivered from the power of darkness. And then thirdly, translated. That's a wonderful spiritual concept there. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So Paul, after telling us in the first few verses of what the gospel is and what the gospel does, and the gospel was delivered unto them, unto the church in Colossae by Epaphras, then he moves now into these beautiful benefits. These are ours. And they're ours so that we can live the kind of lives he wants us to live as we endeavor by God's grace to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These wonderful resources are ours. We must appropriate them in our life. They're ours, not so we can go do what we want to do. But God has given us these great qualities of life, these benefits, so that we might go and do what he wants us to do. So in speaking of these privileges, the first one in verse 12, we are equipped. If you're taking notes, mark that down. We are equipped, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of life. The word meet here, it means that he has enabled us. The word means that we are competent in him. In all of this, it's by grace. It's not that we've somehow achieved the position where we are qualified to be partakers. No, it's what Jesus Christ has done. It means we are fit in character. One of the great things about authentic Christianity is it changes a person from within. And it's not just dressing us up on the outside so that we might look a little better. But he changes us from within. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm going to talk about the resources that are ours. Oh, incidentally, I'll be preaching on this tonight. And also, when Peter says, if you have a Bible, you are better off than if you were on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to dig into that tonight. And many of you come back just because it's the thing you do. Praise the Lord for that. That's a good habit. But if you normally don't come, come back tonight. Not because I'm preaching, but because there's just something exciting to realize that someone who was there and saw the transfiguration said, your Bible is more sure word of prophecy than having been an eyewitness to the glory of Jesus Christ being transfigured. And we'll explain that all tonight. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the verses we'll be using tonight, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. One of the neat things about the Bible is it will help you think correctly. That's what doctrine is. The Bible will help you think correctly. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. That is, reproof will tell us where we've gone wrong. I'll be very brief with my illustration, but I had the privilege of going to Alaska hunting, and I got a bull moose, and I got up there, and I had my rifle sighted in before I left the left Michigan, and it was hitting just really, really good at 100 yards. I could have covered three shots with a nickel, maybe with a dime. And I got up to Alaska, and I sighted in just to want to do it again, just to make sure. And I was shooting way off. I had turret mounts on my scope. I took the little caps off where you take a dime out and you adjust it. You men and some of you women know about that. And I took those off, and I put turret mounts. You could just turn it. Well, when I opened my case, it said inspected by TSA. And evidently, I had an anti-hunter who inspected it, and they just turned it and turned it and turned it and turned it. And I thought I was shooting this way, and I was shooting way out this way. I'd have missed a moose at 100 yards. I'd have missed a house at 100 yards. And the Bible will tell us we think we're going this way. It's good for doctrine. It's good to help us think correctly. And I think I'm going straight and narrow, and I get into the Word of God, and I find out that it's good for reproof. It tells me I'm not shooting this way. I'm shooting off this way. But then the Bible tells us how to get back on course. And then, and we'll cover that tonight, but then in verse 17 it says that the man of God, and that means the person of God, it means the child of God, it means the teen of God, it means the woman of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Dear people, first of all, we are equipped. We are thoroughly furnished to do whatever God wants us to do. And I don't have any idea what kind of difficulties you may be going through. And in ourselves, we are inadequate. We don't just feel inadequate. We are inadequate in ourselves. But in Christ, we are thoroughly furnished unto all good works. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy." And that's a Greek term that means hail, welcome. Count it all joy. Hail, welcome what? When you fall into diverse temptations or troubles. When our son Clifford got cancer, and he's in heaven now. When Clifford got cancer, he said, "Dad, I want to use that as my theme. Count it all joy. Hail, welcome, even to my cancer." And he says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect." And the word perfect there means complete, perfect, and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, dear people. Whatever it is you're going through, and it needn't be problems. Maybe it's a glorious challenge where God has given you some opportunities. Understand that in Christ, you are equipped. You are equipped in character. We have all the resources we need to do what God wants us to do for His glory and for His honor. And then the second thing that I see here is in verse 13. "And hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Again, it's not as though He's delivered us. The Bible says there hath no temptation taken you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "But that which is common to man." So when you're faced with temptation, "I can't handle this." No, no, no. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. But He will, with the temptation, also provide a way of escape. And so He not only has equipped us, but He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Say it another way. When I sin, it's because I choose to sin. It's not that I couldn't handle it. And when He says there that He delivered us from the power of darkness, it means a couple of things. Obviously, it means He's delivered us from darkness to light. Spiritually speaking, without God, men just grope and stumble. Pastor referenced that this morning as he was sharing with us, and even his prayer. Life is lived without Christ in shadows and darkness. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light." But I'm sure you're exposed here with the good teaching of your pastors and others, some positional truths. I may still choose to walk in darkness. If I do, shame on me. But positionally, I have been placed from darkness into His marvelous light. So when He says we're delivered, it means a deliverance from darkness to light. But it also means a deliverance from slavery to freedom. Look at the same verse. "Delivered out of the power of darkness." If you want to keep your finger here in Colossians chapter 1, go to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. You see, this is redemption. It's a word used for emancipation or liberation of a slave. And we're going to see that same concept in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Now, I just said we are delivered from slavery to freedom. And if we're not careful, we can say, well, I'm not a slave. I've never been a slave. Romans chapter 6 was written to believers. And he says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, so we have a choice. I can yield myself. Well, what are my choices? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So even as a believer, I need to be yielding myself as a servant of righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, and I know that some of you are raised in a Christian family and don't have some of the scars that I have, and praise God for that, but still without Christ, we're the servants of sin. Whereas you were the servants of sin, Romans chapter 6, verse 17, in the middle of the verse, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. So I'm free from sin. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. May I say it this way? One way or the other, you're going to be a slave. You're going to be a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. We say, not me. I'm not going to be a slave to either one. Well, that's like the 19-year-old who ran away from home and joined the Marines because he didn't want anyone telling him what to do. You're going to be a slave. And slavery to Christ is a good thing. I'll tell you, this life is a good life. This life is an exciting life. One of my favorite hymns, I looked at it this morning, and they left out verse 3 of And Can It Be. Well, they have a verse 3, but And Can It Be is verse 3 is my testimony. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused, God's eye diffused a quickening way. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. I was a sin. I was a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was a slave to sin. And in Jesus Christ, there is liberation. So we see, first of all, that we are equipped. And I know that during the sermon, we move from one thing to the next and to the next. But can I encourage you to stop and think about this? I am equipped. Maybe there's health problems. Maybe there's personal interrelationship, personal problems. Need to be problematic. Maybe there's great challenges and opportunities. In Christ, you are equipped. And then secondly, we are delivered. I no longer walk in darkness by God's grace. The third thing that I see, and I realize there's some overlap here, but God did it in Scripture, so I'll do it in my sermon. And the next thing that I say here, the next thing that I see here is in verse 13, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Do you know one of the things that I've done, I accepted Christ at 19, as I mentioned. I began early on in my Christian life a pursuit to find out what God says about me and then obey it and act accordingly. Believe it. What are some things that God says about me? Well, he's delivered us. He has given unto us, Pastor Weber referenced this morning in Sunday school. If you don't come to Sunday school, let me encourage you to do that. I realize there are some cases where your person just can't come. There's a good Sunday school lesson. But he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What? Sometimes I feel like saying, are you talking about me? He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not just, and I'll never poke fun at heaven, certainly not. But not just pie in the sky. Not just one day I'll go to heaven and everything will be fine. Everything is fine now. There's still problems. but he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. We are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And I'll tell you, dear friends, sometimes I don't feel complete in him. Sometimes I may be facing things that seemingly would drain me physically and emotionally and even spiritually. And I don't feel like I have all the resources I need. That's when it's time to dig into the Word of God and trust the Word of God rather than your feelings, rather than your circumstances, rather than the people who would sometimes drag you down. The next thing we see here is we're translated, verse 13, into the kingdom of His dear Son. What a beautiful concept. And so this is one of those things. God says this about me. I'm translated. What does that mean? Well, this is a word that had special use. In the ancient world, when one empire won a victory over another, it was common to take the population of the defeated country and transfer them, lock, stock, and barrel, into the conqueror's land. That sounds familiar to you. The people of the northern kingdom were carried into Assyria. The people of the southern kingdom were carried into Babylon. So Paul says that God has carried us into a new kingdom. Wow. Sometimes I feel like just reveling in that. Because I got problems here in this life. But I'm not even a citizen of this life. Pastor and I were talking a little bit last night, a little bit this morning. We're both careful not to talk too much about it. But humanly speaking, the way the world's going, humanly speaking, even in regard to Christianity, humanly speaking, you catch my emphasis there, we don't stand a chance. But in Christ, here's something else God says about us. We are more than conquerors. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. So we don't stick our head in the sand and pretend like everything is all right. We just ask God to help us have an eternal perspective. And part of that eternal perspective is to recognize that I'm equipped. That's good news. I am delivered. That's good news. I am translated. So this was a transference. It's a rescue. And it meant a couple things. It meant transference from condemnation to forgiveness. That's where I live now. The life of a forgiven person. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, not just the flesh from the sinful perspective, but not after the flesh from the perspective of seeing, walking by sight instead of walking by faith. So it meant transference not only from condemnation to forgiveness, but secondly, it meant a transference from the power of Satan to the power of God. According to his glorious power, it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. And so, dear people, this is good news. Be encouraged. We are equipped. We are delivered. We are translated. Well, what do we do with this? Well, if you're a believer, rejoice. If you're a believer, recognize that you're not in the circumstances you're in today because of some kind of a blunder, and that God is not pacing the floors of heaven, wringing his hands, saying, oh no, what am I going to do about that? We serve a sovereign God. And if you're going through deep waters today, it's because God has allowed it. And if there's sin to repent of, then repent and move on. God is the God of reexamination. God is the God of renewed opportunities, new opportunities to serve him. So if you're a believer, just rejoice in these things, but then act accordingly. This is some stuff that God says about you. Believe it. Act like who you are in Christ. If you're here today and there's never been a time when you received Jesus Christ as Savior, then your response needs to be, first of all, a recognition that this equipment, this deliverance, this translation it doesn't apply to you if you don't know Christ as Savior. I was preaching in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. A young lady, probably in her 30s, was sitting about the second pew back and literally sitting on the edge of her seat and just taking it all in, taking it all in, taking it all in. I was preaching from Philippians and got to the end of the message and I said, "And if you're not saved, this doesn't apply to you." And I saw her countenance fall. And I said, "Here's how you receive Christ as Savior, and I'll tell you in a moment. And if it's old news to you, rejoice." And I told her how she could accept Christ as Savior. To recognize, first of all, that she was a sinner, and then that even though she may have been a good person, she cannot save herself. I was talking to the congregation, but it was to her, she told me later. And we call it the good news. And the first thing I tell you is, you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. Where's the good news in that? Well, the good news is coming. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died for your sins. He took the punishment for your sins. And then we need to recognize that we're sinners. We need to repent of our sins, and we need to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. John chapter 1, verse 12, "To as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become a child of God." That's the verse, Pastor. That's the verse I heard, and I can't remember what the preacher preached on. But I remember John chapter 1, verse 12. Become a child of God? I was taught that everybody was automatically a child of God. And that's wrong teaching. And it said if you'll receive Christ as Savior, you'll become a child of God. And that day, hearing the gospel for the first time, I went forward and I received Jesus Christ, my Savior. Back to Fort Lauderdale, I shared the gospel, and this lady came forward and got saved. Wow. 3 months later, it was one of my supporting churches. 3 months later, I called. She answered the phone. She's the new secretary in the church. And she told me, I was so excited in that message. And then she says, "I was just brokenhearted when you said, even as I've said to you folks today, if you're not saved, these wonderful truths don't apply to you yet." And she says, "When you told me how to get saved," she says, "I felt like I didn't even have a choice." And she's rejoicing in the Lord and still this day serving Christ. Praise the Lord for that. And so if you're a believer here today, rejoice in these wonderful truths. This is something God says about you. Act accordingly. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, recognize that you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Recognize that even though you may be a good person, you're not good enough to save yourself. The Bible says not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Recognize that Jesus Christ died for your sins. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then make that decision. Authentic Christianity comes by way of a decision. It is an event. It's not a process of evolution. You may learn more, and then get saved. I understand. But salvation itself is not a process of learning more, and then I'm just kind of saved because I know more. That's not it. You need to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And then I would add this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." Now, that applies to you if you're here and you're not saved. But dear people, that applies to those of us who are believers too. If God has given us a little more information, and He's brought something to our mind that needs to be embraced or needs to be repented of. Just before I left my cabin in Anaconda yesterday morning, putting away tools, and I have this big farmer jacket. And that farmer jack stands about this high. I put it under the bumper. I don't mean to brag, but I have a 1970 International pickup. And boy, that thing, it just built like a tank. And I had to change a tire recently, and I put that farmer jack underneath there, and click, 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 click. And it doesn't look like anything's happening. It click, 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 click. And the reason it's so high is because it lifts the whole thing, and pretty soon the wheel comes off the ground, and if you're smart, you loosen the lug nuts before you took the wheel off the ground, which I did. Why mention that? I wonder sometimes if I believe in a bumper jack theology. Spiritually speaking, there's the opportunity that I have to make big decisions. But some of the decisions in my life that have changed my life, dear people, they've been just little decisions. Click, click. Yeah, I need to be doing that. Click, click. Or, no, I shouldn't be doing that anymore. click, click, just little decisions, little decisions, little decisions. So wherever you find yourself today, respond to the Lord. If you're a believer, rejoice. Make whatever decisions are necessary to appropriate this equipment, this deliverance, and this translation. If you're here and you need Jesus Christ as Savior, make today the day of your salvation.